The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon where we are in Central Time. We have Joel Skousen live by phone. He has a website called worldaffairsbrief.com. If you do not subscribe to this, my simple question is, why not? I do. Yes, there is a fee, and yes, it's well worth it. It's very inexpensive, and you have to understand, Mr. Skousen is a highly respected political scientist by training, specializing in the philosophy of law and constitutional theory, also a designer of high-security residences and retreats. Please don't think bomb shelter, okay? I imagine he probably has had people joke with him about that, right, Joel Skousen? How are you?
I'm just fine. Actually, I never do bomb shelters because, as my book, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, points out, if you're within 10 miles of a nuclear target, then move. Don't spend all the money. Don't spend all the money for a blast zone or blast valve or, you know, tons of concrete overhead. Move. It's just much simpler.
Yeah, I get that. And so, you know, this is one of the things you have to understand. Also, you have a military background. You served as a fighter pilot in the U.S. Marine Corps during NAM. And again, thank you for your service. It's always a pleasure having you on. And we open the phone lines, too, for those of you who want to interject or have questions for Joel Skousen. I would prefer it would be questions because this man is a wealth of knowledge. And of course, like I said, I subscribe to World Affairs Brief. And if you don't, you should, because then you'll stay on top of things recapitulated by the week that Joel covers on a regular basis. Now, he's also the author of four books. Strategic Relocation, by the way, is in its fourth edition. And some things have been changed in that edition from the third. He does you're working on Foundations of the Ideal State. What is that about?
Well, that's actually about how to fix the general language and the holes in the U.S. Constitution that allowed the Supreme Court to run havoc with it and destroy the intent of the founders. And so it's basically the attempt to how to do an ideal freedom-loving constitution, which they can't undo, and they can't invoke socialism or these foreign wars or other types of things that we're plagued with. It's a work in progress still, but still at joelskousen.com in my law and government section, people can read about what I've designed so far.
Huh. Now, would it take, you know, because I hear about this convention of states all the time, and Mark Meckler and everybody else is sending me all this stuff. I mean, is that the way to go about doing what you're promoting?
No, it certainly is not. Because, you see, you have to have people who really honor the Constitution and the intent of the founders if you're going to make, if you're going to tighten up the language. It has to be in the correct direction. If you have a convention of states, most conservatives don't realize that the delegates to that convention would be appointed by the state legislatures. And even Republican legislatures are controlled by mainstream Republicans. The conservative Republicans are always the minority in Oklahoma and Idaho and Utah. And you got to live in those states to understand that they're fighting a constant battle against their mainstream Republican leaders. So you'd only have mainstream Republicans or mainstream Democrats or mainstream Republicans and lawyers at best, and it would be a disaster. And I don't also support a balanced budget amendment, either through constitutionality or otherwise, because we already have an effective amendment right in place. It's called the debt ceiling limit vote every year. It happens, and it only takes a majority to stop them from deficit spending. But you see, with a balanced budget amendment, once you require a balanced budget, you know, it's politically much less palatable to politicians to raise taxes than it is to cut welfare benefits. There would be hell to pay if they cut Social Security, welfare benefits, grants, student loans, and all that stuff to balance the budget. So what would they do? They'd be forced. We got an amendment. I've got to raise taxes to balance the budget. And that's what would happen.
That doesn't sound like a good deal for we the people.
No, it certainly is not. And so, you know, writing in my World Affairs brief for Friday, I'm talking about the fact, you know, Politics 24, conservatives handle the truth. The truth is that we are not even close to the majority. Most of the Americans don't vote. Only 168 million out of 340 are registered to vote. But I'll tell you, if you start cutting their benefit, and only 41 million are conservative out of those, because the third Democrats, the third Independents, and the third Republican, and only a third, 41 million are Republicans, more or less, and not all those are conservatives, and probably only about 12 million of those are conservatives like we're talking to and we're discussing in our areas. That's not even close to a majority. And that's why we keep losing. You know, the deep state, even though they stole the election from Donald Trump, you might ask yourself, well, why didn't they take away all the Republicans and steal the election from everybody? Then it would be obvious, you see, that they stole. So they allow Republicans to just maintain a featherweight majority in the House so that they can't do anything, because we always have at least a couple of dozen rhino Republicans in the Republican that will vote with Democrats or that will compromise to make sure that the conservatives in the Freedom Caucus can't get anything done. And
well,
that's the reality.
Yeah.
But let me just finish. What it does, it keeps people hoping, because we're close. It keeps people hoping that the Republican Party will save us because we're close. We're so close. But you're not close at all, because they, in fact, effectively have us neutered by the amount of rhino Republicans. For example, in Utah, we've got a Democrat who turned Republican just to win an election, John Curtis, to get into the House of Representatives. Now he's running for Senate to replace rhino Republican Mitt Romney. And unfortunately, Utah voters, because they think, oh, Republicans are safe, I'll just vote for Republicans. So if he wins the primary, he's automatically in as a senator. That's how bad Republicans are about thinking through the issues and understanding the background of these people.
That is sad. Wow. And see, then you've got Mike Johnson. That's a whole nother problem. I'm sure you're going to talk about that in your World Affairs brief. What do you think?
Yes.
What's your take on all this nonsense?
Well, Mike Johnson was a pretty good conservative, but he's a soft individual. So it's very easy for them to turn the screws on him and say, look, and they do it through intelligence. They come to him and say, look, if we don't do this, we are going to suffer this and this and this. Even Donald Trump fell sucker to that. You know, he proclaimed that he was going to release the rest of the JFK files that had been held back. After 50 years, they were all supposed to be released. Obama didn't release them. Trump said he would. And then when he didn't, Judge Napolitano asked him, he said, but why didn't you release the JFK files? And he said, well, the intelligence community came to me and told me something that made me realize that it would destroy the nation if I were to release those files. So he didn't release them. And Judge Napolitano asked him, well, what did they tell you? And he refused to tell him. But you see, I'm an expert in conspiracy. I would know whether or not the intelligence community was lying to me or not. Trump doesn't have a clue. He's never studied conspiracy. He was never a conservative before he ran for office. How could he tell? I mean, when they told him that General Soleimani of Iran was the biggest sponsor of terror in the world, he believed them. And he doesn't know his history. Doesn't know that Soleimani was the biggest funder and armorer of the Iraqi militia, which were the ones that took down the ISIS problem. It wasn't the U.S. soldiers. It was the Iraqi militia. But you see, American conservatives don't understand our deep state created ISIS out of about half of the Syrian refugees, or not refugees, but terrorists that they imported after the invasion of Libya and Tunisia. And so You see, Trump didn't know that the deep state created ISIS. No, he believed Soleimani was actually the one who was fighting against U.S.-backed terror, not terror itself. So you really got to know your stuff if you're going to be president. And unfortunately, Trump falls short.
Yeah, and then Mike Johnson, of course, has fallen into that trap, and now Marjorie Taylor Greene and others want to oust him. Is that good or bad for Congress?
Well, it's not going to happen because the Democrats say, hey, we got somebody who's going to compromise with us, and they're going to support him. They're not going to vote with him. Normally, see, when they ousted McCarthy, all the Democrats voted against McCarthy. They're not going to do that with Johnson. So he's safe. But you see, Johnson, I don't think, is a bad person. He's just weak in his resolves to close the border and other things, which he should have required, you know, prior to aid to Ukraine. He didn't do that. He gave into the establishment, which basically does have the right information. It's, you know, I've gone through great lengths in the brief to talk about why the conservatives have been snookered in, just like Tucker Carlson was when Putin told him, you know, that... you know, all the excuses about how he's the victim here of the West, and that he's a Christian and anti-woke, and that, et cetera, and that he was justified in his attack on Ukraine. And of course, it's very easy, unless you know your history of conspiracy, to know why Russia faked their own demise. It was a phony fall of communism, and why they purposely put the Russians into the boundaries of Ukraine so they could have an excuse to attack at some point. Conservatives need to know this stuff, but they have been so imbued by the phony war on terror to think, which was correct during that war, that anybody the neocons and the globalists were against must be innocent, like Iraq and Afghanistan. Nothing to do with 9/11. And but they came to the erroneous conclusion, like my good friend Ron Paul has, is that anyone the globalists must be against has to be an innocent party. So they don't think that Russia or China are enemies, and they are existential enemies. They are building to attack the U.S., and they will. And sure, the globalists are provoking it to some extent because they want this war as well. That's how they drive Americans into a militarized global government through the next Third World War, which is coming. And I wear out my days trying to warn conservatives that don't get on the wrong side of this. Russia's not our friend. He's not anti-woke, he's not Christian, and he's not trying to take down our new world order to establish a peaceful one. Russia and China want to take down the globalist new world order so that they can reestablish their own version, which will be even more tyrannical.
Well, it would. The bigger problem now is that we've got so much internal strife, and so many of our listeners have been paying more attention to this than they should. And that's what's going on right now on college campuses. And it seems to me like these agitators are just trying to promote the idea of, look, if we get these people riled up enough and get these cops coming after us riled up enough, we'll have another Kent State. And then we really got something to rail against. What's your take on all of what's been going on in the last couple of weeks?
Well, it is, they are provoked demonstrations, to be sure. In their anti-Israel. Now, what you have to, what your audience has to realize is that neither Hamas nor Israel are innocent parties in what's going on in the Middle East. As I pointed out in the World Affairs Brief, and this is why you get crucial information there you don't get anywhere else.
That's right.
Israel provoked this Hamas attack by withdrawing 80% of the Gaza Brigade. That's like telegraphing a message, we're wide open. And then they shut down all the electronic monitoring of the fence so they could bulldoze through that. And Israeli, you know, counterattacks of tanks were 6 to 7 hours away to stop that invasion. I mean, it was just incredibly evil, you know, to do this. Now, they did it, of course, to go after. I had postulated two, you know, possibilities of why they would do this. One was to go after Hamas and eliminate Hamas, which is impossible, by the way, because you destroy so many civilians in trying to protect Israeli soldiers from having too much death, because the Jews are ambivalent about life after death and resurrection. And so they just go berserk when people die. They just don't have, you know, a Christian viewpoint about life after death and the peace that can come from knowing that the soul lives on. I mean, as I say, it's some Jews do and some Jews don't. But there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth every time someone dies. And so the government knows you can't tolerate very many army deaths. So what do? Even though they warn civilians to get out of these buildings, Hamas doesn't let them out, and so they get a lot killed in there. So Hamas is just as evil in, you know, shielding themselves from civilian deaths as Israel is in saving their own soldiers from civilian deaths by bombing, you know, civilian areas. So this is a tough thing. There's never going to be peace in the Middle East. You can't give in to this kind of student protest and terrorism. And that's why, you know, these college campus people, they're all woke, these presidents, and they gave in and to these protesters who raised the Palestinian flag. And finally, when the police did go in and lock them all over, take them away, and they probably won't get any jail time. They won't be treated like January 6th prisoners, to be sure. But at least they did something, and the people cheered in New York. Finally something, you know, people want results. They want that border closed. They want these protesters to be ousted when they take over buildings and do violence and things that violate the general rules of peaceful protest.
Well, I mean, I wish we could have applied that to the summer of 2020 up in Minneapolis, but apparently that wasn't the case. Because the police hardly did anything. They had their hands tied behind their back.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's because, you see, the globalists were funding BLM and Antifa, not because they're communists. This is another mistake that conservatives make. The communists are coming and take over them. No, they're not. Globalists are not communists. They use communists. They fund communists. They fund radicals to break down the social order, to create crises so they can come in and rescue with their solutions that you would never usually accept. I mean, that's the whole purpose of signing Presidential Decision Directive 60, instructing our missile forces to absorb a nuclear first strike. They want our military decapitated. They know that Russians and Chinese aren't going to hit cities first, just military targets. The U.S. is going to allow that strike to fall so then they can come out of their bunkers and say, you know, we didn't know this was going to happen, which is a lie. But now that our military has been decapitated, our only solution, there's the Hegelian dialectic again, our only solution is to join a militarized global government to prosecute this war. And this is supreme evil, just like letting the attack on Pearl Harbor happen. And our deep state hiring the terrorist and, you know, loading the buildings with explosives to do the 9/11 attack and then blame it on terrorists. This is false flag operation supreme, and it's very sophisticated.
And speaking of which, Eric in Missouri, do you have a question for Joel Skousen?
I wish I hadn't called in, just listen to him talk, because I agree with so much what he said. We had a colonel on the show this week, and he was talking about civil war in Syria. It's not really a civil war there. Aren't the terror or the rebels, aren't they brought in from outside the country, like through Libya and other places, and they're just trying to divide up that country?
That's exactly correct. In other words, the only reason that they went in to overthrow Gaddafi, who was actually very popular, I mean, even though it was a socialist country, he was giving all kinds of benefits to people, free education and other things, and it was a very popular. Then we went in to destroy him to create a wave of Muslim jihadists out of Tunisia and Libya, which they imported into Syria. I mean, sure, there was opposition in Syria to Bashar al-Assad because of his father, Hafez al-Assad, was a real ruthless tyrant who ran a big deep state operation there. His son is a UK-educated ophthalmologist who's a mild-mannered person married to an English woman. He's not the same as his father, but there was opposition because of that, and so the U.S. imported those rebels in there to create the Civil War, which would not have happened otherwise. And then they took half of those rebels and gave them a name chain, called them ISIS, and sent them on a rampage into Iraq and then into Western Europe to do terror events. And much of the purpose of going after Iraq and Syria, et cetera, was to create a wave of refugees, which now have destroyed Western culture, or starting to destroy Western culture in Europe. on average, you have 25% Muslims now in Europe instead of a Western developed Christian society. In the Netherlands, it's over 50% of Muslims, and it is just creating havoc. So that's what Americans need to understand, is that the deep state is really our big problem.
We appreciate your call, Eric. Thanks for chiming in. This is the thing. We're seeing all these things, Joel Skousen, happen in Europe. And we had retired Colonel John Mills on the show, is who Eric was referring to, and was talking about this idea of a civil war and what could happen if we don't stop this influx of invasion attempts at our southern border. And now we've reported this morning about a trainload of them headed north from the Chihuahua area into towards the U.S., and they're going to process them and release them into the interior. What is your I'm sure that in World Affairs Brief, and folks, I cannot stress enough about subscribing to this, because, you know, Joel has to survive. He runs a ranch where he's at. He's doing everything that he can do the right way to try to be self-sufficient. These are things that he has been promoting forever and a day. In fact, Andrew, that's your son, right?
Yes.
He writes a lot of stuff on survival tactics and techniques and things you need to pay attention to. And you will get that as part of the World Affairs Brief. And so, you know, a lot of the thought processes, because there's a ton of stuff that I read in World Affairs Brief that is vital to your understanding, so that you're not duped and not fooled. And the subscription is not expensive. Everybody can afford it. I mean, if you can afford a bottle of booze, you can afford the World Affairs Brief. And I'd rather be reading that than drinking a whole bottle of booze, to be honest with you, sir.
Well, let me tell you, you know, they're going to steal this election again. The same machinery is still in effect. Their computers, tabulation computers, still tied to the internet. They can be manipulated at will. Donald Trump is never going to be allowed to go in and deport people. He just gave an excellent interview to Time Magazine in his first order of business, a massive deportation effort. But he even had to admit, you know, some police in blue states are going to refuse to cooperate in these sanctuary states, and it's going to be a problem. But the point is, the border is never going to close. Trump's going to be denied winning. We're going to wake up that morning, realize they stole it again, but it's going to be very easy to do now that Robert F. Kennedy is in the race, because they're building the narrative right now that he's going to take more Trump votes than he is from Biden. They're building the narrative to be able to say, oh, Trump lost because of RFK being in there. And so what happens? It means that all of these draconian things from Title IX, including LGBTQ, transgender, and literally removing from the states an ability to ban people, men claiming to be women, from locker rooms and bathrooms, et cetera, is going to continue. It means the border is never going to be shut down. It's going to be one continual flood. But in deference to what the kind general said, it won't affect civil war. There isn't any feeling for civil war among the conservatives. They're so busy trying to make a living amid the inflation and survive, etc. There just no, except for, you know, a handful of militia types who would like to take up arms. There just isn't any. You just have to have a majority wanting to really control the tyranny of government, and they boil the frog slowly to keep that happen. But what will happen is that when this war comes, which I feel the window opens somewhere around 2027, 28, or 29, when China is ready, and they said they will be ready in 2027, when they use either the invasion of Taiwan or the invasion of or Kim Jong-un attacking the U.S. or South Korea as a pretext for starting World War II and throwing a nuclear preemptive strike on U.S. military targets, this is going to be preceded by an EMP strike. It's going to take down the grid. Now, that's when the Civil War happens. But it's not a Civil War. It's just utter a Mad Max scenario. There's no electricity. People are going to be pillaging within 3 days once the store shelves are empty. There's no electricity, no gas at the pumps. I mean, you can imagine what this is going to do to the nation, and people have to prepare for this. And that's why, you know, even though I was, you know, been asked to run for president on the Constitution Party and other parties, I'm trying to tell conservatives, we don't have enough time. to battle this thing out politically. We don't have enough time to overturn the massive majorities against us. We have to realize that there's going to be a huge crisis come up. There's going to drive conservatives out of the blue state cities. They're there now because of jobs, and they won't be there when there are no jobs anymore and no electricity. They're going to flee to rural areas, and that's my hope, that we'll have new conservative majorities in rural areas that will be able to reform and do things right, to tighten up the language of the Constitution, to prohibit the socialist inroads into it, because, as I say, you can't do it currently when they've got the power of the vote. Less than half of the people vote, but believe me, they're going to come out and vote if you cut off their welfare benefits or their student loans or their medical grants or their universities, which are all driven by, they'll come out of the woodworks and vote against you, and we'll find out just how small a minority. So it all is not lost. What I'm saying is the Lord will always save a remnant. We've got to be prepared to be a remnant. We've got to be righteous. We've got to do what's right. We can't get involved in killing our babies and abortion. Even though they're the majority now and we can't stop them through democracy, we can at least have civil society and our own conservative majorities in rural areas if we are prepared to do so in the coming crisis. And believe me, it is coming.
So this is the thing about EMP, and we have tried to stress this so many times. You're in a situation in Utah where you are. There is a contingent, a remnant there, and see, better to be a remnant than a refugee, as I've always said. We're going to have to make some tough decisions as to how we treat our neighbors if our neighbors are not prepared. How is that working out where you are?
Well, you know, even though the majority of people, vast majority in Utah and Idaho, are either Mormons or evangelical Christians, the Mormons have the advantage in a crisis situation since they have this alternative church government system. Everybody's assigned to take over or help another family. They have food storage programs. And so if anybody, any society is going to knit back together, it's going to be, you know, the Mormons in a majority. But people can establish, you know, even if you're of another religion, you can establish relations with your neighbors where you help them get prepared and you have alternative means of keeping order and peace. The trouble is, you see, if you're, and this is what strategic relocation, my book points out, if you're in high-density population areas where like 1,000 people per square mile on the East Coast and they start to flood into the rural areas as refugees, there's only one solution you've got to have. You've got to be able to get out of the way. And that's why I've developed the strategy that everybody needs to have basement-level concealed safe rooms, not only to protect against fallout, but also just to hide all your valuables so that you can leave your house open, let the refugees come in, take your television or whatever they want, but they can't find you and you and your supplies, all your stockpiles. They're in a concealed safe room out of concrete with a, you know, very heavy steel or vault door that's concealed so that they can't find you. You know, you're just not going to shoot starving people coming down the road. Even though they're violating the law, even though they're violating people's property rights, the Lord isn't going to justify shooting starving people. So you've got to get out of the way. That's the big thing that people need to remember, is that, and unfortunately, it's tough to get basement space in certain areas of the country.
It is, and we appreciate you hanging on for the last segment of the show here, Joel Skousen. Folks, this is some pretty serious stuff, because I know there's maybe some people out there that are going to take issue with what Joel just said as far as turning a weapon on somebody that's coming in your house to do you harm. And you don't have any place to go. There is no opportunity to bug out. We'll talk about this and other things after we get back from the break here on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's ThePowerMall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
33 minutes after the hour of 12 noon as we wrap up our last segment here with Joel Skousen, a political scientist that has worldaffairsbrief.com. If you are not a subscriber, you should be. And before we went to break, we were sitting there talking about the big if you are attacked, what do you do? You know, the school of thought, if you're a godly like person, is not to kill people. But if they come to your house with guns and you have no other way to defend yourself, Joel Skousen, what do you do?
Well, that's a misinterpretation of what I was saying. What I was referring to is a mob of hungry people going from house to house looking for food.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you don't have enough ammunition to shoot, you know, 150 people who are just starving. But that does not mean when you have, if you've prepared and you're in a rural area and you have a pickup truck load of malcontents who are armed or coming to hurt you, yes, you do shoot them down. So what I'm saying is that there's two different really scenarios. The more common scenario in an EMP strike is going to be thousands of refugees flowing through the cities, and the only viable strategy is to get out of the way, and you got to prepare in advance. Even if you don't have a basement, even if you do a safe room above ground, you have a gravel-filled wall, closet or something with bulletproof door that you can hide and lock yourself into, that is a very real option that you need to have. And as I say, you have to pick your battles carefully when you're going to use weapons against them. Certainly God justifies you protecting your family, your loved ones, and yourself with armed force, but you've got to pick your battles carefully. And that means it's got to be doable, because simply going against a mob that is only hungry, that isn't armed, et cetera, I mean, they may well burn your house down if you start shooting at them. So you have to think through these various scenarios. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, and I wasn't trying to misrepresent you, Joel. I knew exactly where you were going with that, because there are two distinct scenarios, and you very succinctly described the second one, which is the one that I'm really concerned about, is because we have all these illegals coming into the country. And now whether or not they're given the right to vote in this upcoming election remains to be seen. But I don't think that that is the big influencer here, is having all these illegals all of a sudden granted amnesty, parole or whatever, and given a green card and a driver's license. And now they have the right to vote in every election. And they're not even legal U.S. citizens. Those are the ones, when they get here and they find out they've been lied to and that they can't find a job and that their economy's in the tank and all these other things are happening. I mean, don't you think they're going to retaliate?
They are. So far they aren't armed, and, you know, I'm sure some of them can get armed eventually, but they can cause a lot of damage and a lot of protest, and that'll fall right into the Democrats' hands. They'll be able to use that as especially if there's a reaction from, right, they'll use it to clamp down on the right in the name of these, quote, poor refugees, et cetera. I mean, this is not a good scenario, and the more millions that flow into the nation, the more powerful will be the resistance. Now, right now, it's pretty unorganized, but leave it to George Soros and BLM and Antifa activists to start to organize these refugees, and it could be a problem. But this still takes time. Their so-called dream of the American dream is being shattered as we speak. They're being put into ghettos in big blue cities and states, who are crying for federal aid for what they brought upon themselves. And it's not going to be pretty. I can't foretell how soon this could come out, but certainly, as I've covered in tomorrow's World Affairs Brief, cell phone trackage of people who've come into the nation, who are given cell phones, by the way, are showing up at these protests. And they're already involved in these student protests on behalf of Hamas. But I can tell you that it won't get to be a really bad situation that the law enforcement can't enforce until the EMP strike comes and this war comes. Because believe me, when mobs are moving down the street, I don't know of any policeman who's going to leave their family and come to work to protect the rest of you when their family's at risk.
Well, and see, the thing I don't think people realize, and it still hasn't sunk in yet, is that when an EMP strike happens, and it's when, not if, we already know it's when. We just don't know when, but we know it's not if. We know that for a fact. You seem to think that the military bases will be hit with nuclear strikes first and then EMP, or are they going to do a cyber attack to blind us so they can get away with the nuclear strikes?
Yes, I believe the EMP strike will come 15 to 20 minutes before the first nukes fall. And it's possible, and I think China's already doing it, of putting orbiting satellites with nuclear EMP weapons in them, so they're already pre-placed above the United States. And it takes, remember, it's not just one. It takes 8 or 9 EMP weapons to blanket the whole North American grid. And so that's the problem. If it doesn't take missile launches to do that, if they're already pre-orbiting satellites, there won't be any warning when it goes off, like there would be in a missile strike where you can track those things and it takes 20 minutes to arrive on station.
Right. So within 20 seconds or a split second, rather, the power goes out. Our cell phones don't work. The ATMs don't work. Most of our vehicles don't work unless they're, you know, prepared. And even then, there's been some blowback and some challenges as to how sufficiently adequate EMP preparation is, and resilience, I guess, is the word I want to use, is part of your contingent in being a remnant and not a refugee. Where do we go? And folks, the phone lines are open if you have legitimate questions, because you got a guy on the other end that's all about preparedness and understands, you know, the secure home, how to design it, and all these other things. I mean, retreats, self-sufficient residences. He's got an addition out on this, on the secure home that you can, that's now available. These are things right now that, you know, your questions are welcome. 844-769-2944. When you get to the prompts, press 1. You can get on and ask all these legitimate questions like we're talking about now. Don't be afraid. You may have covered something or may want to cover something we haven't covered that Joel probably has studied and got it figured out. And you can get in his world affairs brief. But the thing is, because of his background, he understands where we are and what we need to do to prepare. So, I mean, the average person out there that wants to be part of the remnant, what do they do?
Well, in the first place, you have to really seriously consider relocation if you're in the high-density population areas. And unfortunately, most of your listeners probably are in a big city. And those are going to melt down and be like Katrina, with every road plugged, people running out of gas and not being able to get gas, et cetera. So it's very important that people, in strategic relocation, I talk about, if you're in a major city, major metro area, and you can't move to a rural area because of your job, at least you ought to get into the periphery of a city so that you can be the first one out. And of course, you've got to prepare a place to go to, either with a relative or friend or a cabin or something that you've designed beforehand. And that's the basic strategy. If you can't do any of that, of course, you've got to at least be prepared to get out on foot or on a bicycle or something that doesn't require transportation. And, of course, it's very difficult, and you have to carry with you, you know, a sidearm so that you can protect yourself. And that's one of the problems with, you know, the Mad Max scenario of trying to get out by car, is that you suddenly have roadblocks put up where people want to steal your car or your gasoline in order to fuel their own. So I really highly recommend that people try to make preparations in advance, because when the flag goes up and war starts, it's going to be very difficult to do any preparations. And right now, you know, preparedness equipment is available. One of the best things in terms of power production when the grid goes out are these new solar generators that are just plug and play. You don't have to have an expensive installer come install all this stuff. You can do it yourself. And it's really wonderful in that regard. But I can't emphasize enough how it's important in terms of your location to try to find places. If you're going to relocate or move, try to find some place where they do basements. And most of the Midwest, they do basements. And, of course, the Intermountain West, they don't do a lot in California, just because, not that they can't, they just, everything is built on a quick slab foundation, and the same in Nevada, but you can do basements. The cheapest land right now still is either in the South or in the Midwest. Missouri is one of those states that has good land and hasn't had the kind of inflation that we've had in Utah and Idaho, where all these Californians have moved out. And Texas, where they bought up land in Texas and driving the prices, what available land there is. So it's getting hard to find. When it happens, when the crisis happens, of course, it's really too late to relocate. So I can't emphasize enough how you've got at least 3 or 4 years. So people ought to get very, very serious about preparedness now.
Okay. Esther in Washington, long time no talk to. You have a question for Joel Skousen.
Yes, Mr. Skousen. I was on my way out to do my chores outside, and then I just stayed inside and listened to you, because I'm actually on a landline. But and it was very interesting that you have such a lot of knowledge on Israel and the Israeli situation right now. One question that I'd like to ask you is, do you have a concise spiritual understanding of the beliefs of the Zionists, which are mainly atheists, but also of the Orthodox Jews and their many sects, and then also the Messianic Jews, and how their beliefs in Scripture are propelling their actions?
Wow, that's a heavy question.
I certainly do, and of course, it's a very complex thing, as you've said, from the various different types of Jews. They're not all uniform. Got to remember that the original Zionists that established Israel were Marxists. They were mostly from Russia and other socialist countries, and they came in and established a literal communal-type government with a Histad Ruth, control over the labor union, which was totally communistic. All of the kibbutzim, you know, were communist-oriented, were take children away from the families and raised by a committee while everyone else did the work. I've been to Israel many times, and there are only a few Israelis, Jews, that homeschool, have their own health care system, that don't believe in taking subsidies from government, truly conservative Jews in a wave of liberal and secular Jews, etc. It's my belief from a Christian standpoint that, you know, God made promises to the fathers to restore Israel, and I think that's already happened. That doesn't mean that Israel was righteous. There's a difference between fulfilling the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then leaving them to their own devices, because, you know, the Jewish people mostly are secular Jews there. There are very few what we would consider really good, conscious, living religious people that are not secular in their orientation. And the same with the United States. We used to be a very religious people. Now we're mostly a secular people. Including many Christian denominations, which are big, lavish churches and big televangelical careers. I think we need to get back to basics of living according to the promptings of conscience of the Lord and having a daily walk with Christ. Because if we aren't good at listening to conscience, we're not going to survive very well under the chaos that I predict is coming.
Well, we appreciate your call, Esther. Thanks so much for that. That was a heavy-duty question, and I mean, very legitimate, too, you know, given the nature of the conversation that we've been having all week, because people are very upset with what's going on. You know, they're talking about genocide in Gaza, obviously, and winking, blinking, and nod is over there trying to negotiate some sort of ceasefire or truce. I don't know how long that would last. Everything else past that is old news. I think that a lot of the stuff that's going on right now with the protests and everything else is all rope-a-dope designed to distract us from what we really must be doing. And that is to not only survive, but to start preparing for an eventuality that could come upon us, because a lot of people don't want to go out and vote. They don't believe that their vote is going to count. And I keep telling them, look, if you don't go vote and you just give in to the other side without a fight, you pretty much have signaled to them how you're going to behave when they come for you. Now, I mean, is that a fair assessment, or am I wrong on that?
Well, mostly right. The only thing your listeners really need to understand is, because the Republican Party is, I mean, the Democratic Party is totally controlled by the deep state, but the Republican Party is controlled at the top. Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, John Boehner, all of those, Kevin McCarthy, and now Mike Johnson. It's controlled at the top. And so that really your vote is still wasted there, because they continue to give you hope that, yeah, you're so close, if you can only get into Georgia. Remember, when Trump was first president, he had control of both houses of Congress and the presidency. And guess who stymied Trump? It was Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, that wouldn't give him the money to build the wall, and stymied him on many other things, so that Trump had to make these very unwise compromises. And even the wall that he did get built wasn't enough, because they still keep coming around the wall. I mean, I'm all for the wall. I think that wall needs to go up, but every Tom, Dick, and Harry Republicans promising to finish the wall and stop illegal immigration, but they don't realize Republicans don't have the vote to do that. and never will. So one of the reasons why I considered running for president this cycle and as a Constitution Party member or Independent American Party, depending on which one wants, is to let people know, you know, if you really want to send a message to the establishment, if you vote for someone like Joel Skousen, who's an expert in conspiracy, who knows how to drain the swamp, who knows who's deep state and who isn't, that's going to set alarm bells off within the deep state. And if you vote for the Republican establishment, nothing will change because they're going to steal the vote. Now, they asked me, won't they steal the vote for you too? Yes, they would, but they're not targeting me right now. So I'm saying it's helpful to send a message to them and to help wake other people up. Who is this fellow Joel Skousen who's running, you know? And then they find out, you know, what I know about the deep state and conspiratorial history of the deep state and the phony fall of the Soviet Union and the fact that 9/11 was a deep state operation from beginning in. Then we get to start to wake people up in large enough majorities or even minorities that we can make a difference, especially when this war comes and we have to band together and we need good leadership.
Wow. And now, see, is this like your campaign announcement here, Joel? I mean, you just announcing that you're running for president, or is this something that you've been hiding from us forever and a day, and now all of a sudden you're springing it on my audience that you're now running? I was getting my next follow-up would be, how many states are you on the ballot for?
Well, actually, it's very interesting because they asked me to run for president in the Constitution Party, and they just held their convention last week, and I came in second. The guy who came in first took advantage of the fact that in these small third parties, there's a great deal of antagonism between differences of religion. And the founders knew that's why they didn't want a religious test in the Constitution, because they knew that religion was so divisive. You know, it only takes one thing for liberals to join together and work together. It only takes one thing for conservatives to split apart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, this particular person who's an anti-abortion activist, and there's nothing wrong, my position on abortion is just as strong as his. But he went to all the conservative evangelical states in the East, Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, et cetera, and told them what Joel Skousen has written in an abbreviated platform, because the Constitution Party was 40 pages long and way too long. I wanted an abbreviated platform that we could hit the bullet points. And I didn't put in anything about God and religion and it being a Christian country, et cetera, because I was following the dictum of the founding fathers. We don't want to have a religious test. We want to have an umbrella that's open to all religions. We want to defend religious liberty, just like the Constitution does. And but he went around and told them he's purged God from this platform, and he's created a godless platform. And it so scared off all of the evangelical Christians in those state Constitution parties that he locked up their votes. And, you know, he even made that attack on me during the convention. And fortunately, the chairman said, well, Mr. Skousen deserves a minute to rebut that attack. And I did. I told him I didn't purge anything. I wrote this from scratch and was only following the recommendation of the founding father that we not have the appearance of a religious test so that we don't turn off any good person who wants to defend liberties, including religious liberty. And but he's already locked up the votes. So now there's a rebellion going on within the parties.
Oh, no.
A lot of them are a lot of them are putting me on the ballot anyway, even though he won the national vote. So I'm probably going to be on the ballot in 4 or 5 states.
Oh, my. Well, that'd be interesting. But we don't know which 4 or 5 yet, or do we?
Well, for sure, Nevada, possibly Utah, Idaho, Arizona, and Colorado. So
okay,
mostly western states, and maybe New Hampshire as well. But in any case, I'm trying right now to get people to unify and understand that, you know, well, basically what I want to do is I want to have them send a message through my, if I do run, I want to have them send a message that we're tired of business as usual. We're tired of the Republican Party being controlled. We're tired of losing even if the Republican Party is in control. Let's send a message to the deep state that we're wising up. We're going to send somebody, or we're going to vote for somebody at least who knows what's going on in the world. And that's what I hope to convince people of.
Well, I hope so, too. Patrice in Ohio, you're our last caller. Go ahead.
Well, I brought up yesterday that I still think we're better off to let the Biden get in and dismantle him while they're in there and let them know it doesn't matter who is in there, that we're going to take control and just dismantle the whole structure that doesn't work.
Well,
I don't trust Trump in any regard, and, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking there's going to be something different with the outcome.
Okay, Patrice, I appreciate the input. Joel, your final thoughts on that?
Well, you know, she says let's dismantle it, but you got to have political power to dismantle something. And as I say, Trump came in not as a conservative, knowing nothing about conspiracy. The only reason I know that James Comey was deep state or Robert Mueller or even Christopher Wray who followed is because they were involved in the cover-up of the 9/11. The only reason I know that Brett Kavanaugh's deep state, even though he's mostly a conservative jurist, he was second in command to Kim Starr in the cover-up of the Vince Foster murder. And when you have deep state people like John Roberts or even Brett Kavanaugh, they can twist their arms. They don't require that they vote with the Democrats most of the time, but occasionally on a crucial thing like, you know, Obamacare, they get the phone call of the night to vote. And so, yes, you got to have somebody in there who knows how to drain the swamp, and you've got to know your conspiratorial history to do that. So that's what I'm offering for people, and hopefully we'll send a message to them.
Hopefully. JoelSkousen.com, WorldAffairsBrief.com. Subscribe today so you can get a handle on this, folks. Joel Skousen, always a blessing and a pleasure to have you on this show. I'm glad you could join us this week. God bless you for the work you're doing, and stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And we'll be back again tomorrow for our Friday edition. In the meantime, you know, it never hurts to prepare. I know, you don't want to be the refugee, you want to be the remnant. I can't emphasize that anymore. Joel's got a point there. In the meantime, do something nice for somebody, communicate with your neighbor. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.